Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And Timmy, the season is over.
Yeah, but you know, I guess the way you've got to look at it, Rich, is it's not so much that the season is over, but tomorrow is the first day of prep for the new year, right?
Yeah, we might even start a little bit this evening, Mr. McLeod.
Well, I like hearing that. Are you going to tempt us with some juicy morsels from your list of 5,000 prospects?
No, I wrote about 12,000 words, though, this week, Timmy. It was a big week. October is when I got to get stuff done, so I am writing feverishly, and the first list literally comes up Friday.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm sure the whole gang is going to be looking forward to your words of wisdom. I know I sure will be.
Got a fresh look to the stuff that's coming up, Timmy, so I'm pretty happy with that. Hopefully everybody else will be. The write-ups are a little bit longer this year as well. I don't know why I did that, but I did that. But that's enough of that. We'll talk about that later on, Timmy. But how has your week been? Tell us all how everything came together for you.
Well, I went and I sold chips all week. It was fun, Rich. I had lots of fun.
the ketchup chips a big seller, Tim?
Well, we had, I can't remember who it was, and I apologize for it, but one of our regulars tried just taking regular Ruffles and dipping them in ketchup. Okay, I really think this guy needs a little bit of help, Rich, but there will be a package heading your way sometime in the next couple of weeks, so enjoy.
Yeah, well, Tim, I think I might have won the steak and liquor bet, by the way.
Yeah, I think I'm toast on that one. I really am. But I'll gloat about Broxton for the next 6 months. And
absolutely. I think I snuck out a win 2-1. And, Timmy, did you see what Trey Turner did?
What did Trey Turner do now to leave us breathless?
Well, if you recall, Tim, we had a gentleman's bet, no steak and liquor, gentleman's bet. Under two stolen bases. He stole, I think, his fifth or sixth one today for the week.
Which way did I go, by the way?
You went under. And he actually had two caught stealing as well, so he stole another base today. He attempted, I think, seven stolen bases this week.
Yeah, just amazing. You know, if he would have gotten in another 150 at bats, I think he would have given Mr. Seager a good run for his money on that NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think he really wanted that 30 stolen bases, and he did that. And it's ridiculous, Timmy, what he did. He won a lot of guys' fantasy leagues this year. So tell us, were you victorious this year, or did you make any money this year? I know you did in DL too.
Yeah, I did make a little bit of money this year. Was I victorious? Yes. I had a first and third in two mid-seasons, and it actually won me some money from Fantrax. So I did have a victory, a string of seconds. Roto Masters, Andrew McQuiston's league, partnered up with Dylan White, second there, second in DL2, second with, shout out to Boris there, my partner and chief cook and bog washer, second in the Dynasty Gurus again after two back-to-back first-place finishes. Thanks, Ian, for all the hard work, and a sixth in Blog Wars with Buck Davison, probably one of my proudest accomplishments, was a fourth in the CBS AL only. That's a real tough group, and I was happy. And going through the list, a fourth in Razzball. It was a year fraught with injuries. And Tote, we have a back-to-back winner. Adam Ronis won it again this year, beating Rudy Gamble from Razzball by 3 points. Last year he beat him by two. Rudy had Chris Sale going today, and that was it. That was all. I ended up eighth in Tote, and I'm happy with it. you know, I've got a list of, you know, my pitching collapsed in the second half. I had Salazar, McCullers, Wright, Kimbrell, Estrada, Benintendi, Bregman, Polanco, Blackman, Peralta, Swihart, and the list goes on of injured players. And I'm happy with the results. My big demise was actually counting on about 70 stolen bases from Polanco, Blackman, and Peralta. I got half.
Yeah, well, we talked about it, I think, that last week, and that's just really tough when that happens, and it does happen. And it looks like one of our listeners, Timmy, won. I think it was Yorman won the NFBC Slow Draft Championship. So I think he's going to win like $40,000.
Yeah, it's either I think it's 20 or 40, something like that. Yeah, Yoram Bednar. Yeah, I think it's 20. Yeah, congratulations, Yoram. Great job. I've known him for years. Lives just north of Toronto, Canadian lad, and a good guy and a very, very good player. And I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, it's just totally awesome. And getting lots of Facebook comments out there. People very, very happy. We're getting a lot of shout-outs, Tim, for some help that we gave people. And nobody's trashed us.
Well, no, that's because we both hold admin powers. We can fix that, can't we?
That's very true, Timmy. So, but it's been a fun season. It's been a long season, Timmy. A lot, at least for me, I had a lot of stuff going on this year that made just trying to manage fantasy baseball teams very, very tricky. But made it through just fine. And now we
in DL2.
Yeah, I snuck in a third place, and my pitching finally came back. It was a weird league, Timmy. I should have had better pitching, and if I'd have had better pitching, I knew for a while I was giving you and the winner, Scott, a run for their money, and literally about a month ago, DeGrom got hurt, Strasburg got hurt, Darvish was up and down, which I kind of expected. And Cole Hamill, I don't know if you saw what he did the last month. Well, I own him in a couple of leagues, and I know exactly what he did. He wasn't very good, Tim. He was very bad. And same with Mad Bum. I didn't know him. I own Mad Bum in the NFBC league, and he was another guy that just fell off the table in the month of September.
Yeah, not strong finishes by all those guys. I totally agree. And DL2, you know, hey, Scott played a great game, and his pitching held out. My big problem there, again, more injuries. When you lose a Clayton Kershaw and a J.D. Martinez, it's got to affect the overall totals in a dynasty format.
Yeah, it really does to me. It's a tough format, and now that we're beginning the off season after the World Series is over, we will start a process of starting up another dynasty league, and I'm pretty excited about that. Do not email me. Do not tweet at me. I will tell you all the details. You'll have plenty of time to put your one paragraph together telling me why you won in the league, Timmy, and they're fun leagues, and I'm happy to start up another one of those to get that going. So, Timmy, any league that you played in that just – you didn't like for any reason, whether your team was bad or maybe the competitors weren't paying attention, anything that you just kind of like, oh, I don't like this league?
Well, there's a couple of them, and one of them for me is a real tough one, Rich, because I've been involved with a league called the NABL now for 10-12 years, and I basically considered it my home league. Great bunch of people. It's a salary cap auction keeper, and the format is awesome. The guy who runs it and everybody that partakes, again, great people, but it's a daily transactions league, and streaming is a big part of the game, and I absolutely detest streaming, and I can't do it. So, you know, I almost packed it in last year, and unfortunately, has nothing to do with the people involved. I just can't play that game anymore. So I'm going to be bowing out of that one and one other daily transaction league as well. I just can't play that game.
So
I don't enjoy it.
Okay, so tell me why you can't play that game. Is it just you don't have time, you're in too many leagues, you don't think that it's strategically all that fun if people are streaming players all the time? What's the rationale there?
Well, My premise, and as I've played longer and played the game for a lot of years, my premise is that you build a team based on off-season scouting, okay? Then you go into the draft, okay? And from the draft, you pick players, and you build your team based on your scouting. You then get into in-season management, and, you know, the waiver wire has always been a strong part of the game for me. But when you get into daily leagues, you throw most of that out the window. A lot of the game just becomes an exercise in brute force and whoever can get to the waiver wire first to pick up the next hot player. And I just don't think it rewards players for what I believe are the skills that one should have that are inherent to winning the game. And it's a philosophical thing with me, but I just don't want to do it anymore. Yeah, I don't have fun doing it, Rich. And you know, I've said for years, when I quit having fun, I quit.
Yeah, and Timmy, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've said. I remember in the day, this was before like CBS and ESPN and Yahoo had all their stuff on mobile apps. This is where you actually had to have a computer nearby. And I'd be driving and listening to the MLB Network, and you would hear so-and-so got called up. And you would I would literally pull off the side of the road, turn on the laptop, try to find a Wi-Fi connection to try to beat the guy to picking up. I remember doing that all the time. A little easier now that you can keep driving and use your iPhone to pick up the guy. But you're absolutely right. And if you're not listening at the time a person is called up, and I can't remember who that was, or some of the players, but you don't have a chance. And there's always that guy in your league that seems to always be listening and have a computer or their iPhone open at the time, and they're the ones that always pick up everybody.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it doesn't really reward the skills that I believe should be rewarded for the game. That's probably my biggest problem. You spend months and months. It's much the same with head-to-head, and I've seen it on the Facebook page lately. I played one head-to-head league this year just to satisfy my curiosity, and it confirmed basically everything that I've always thought. I just can't play five and a half months and play hard to watch it go down the tubes in 2 weeks. That the ends don't seem to justify the means to me, Rich.
Yeah, but I mean, look at these. Let me just push back on that and say, isn't that what Major League Baseball guys have done? They've played the entire season, 162 games. They're going to go in the playoffs, and let's say John Lester and Kyle Hendrick both have off weeks. Well, if they just have a lousy couple of games, they're out, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. And they'll still make $25 million a year and spend the off season in the Bahamas or whatever warm locale they choose while I'm slugging potato chips and thinking, why did I waste 5.5 months of my life?
That's actually an interesting. I never thought of it that way, Timmy. That's right. You know, you're absolutely right. If you're a Major League Baseball player or even an owner, you're still really wealthy. All we have is, why did I waste 5.5 months? That's actually an interesting perspective. You can't put a dollar amount on that.
Well, no, it's priceless, ain't it?
It definitely is indeed. It looks like Robert's out in the internet active chat room. He is the only person out there. Timmy, I only played in five leagues. I played in just one, the NFBC league, which I think we talked at nauseam about that. It just fell off a cliff a month ago. I don't know what happened. Matt Harvey went down, and my pitching fell apart. Not necessarily got injured, just fell apart. I think Joe Ross went out, and then I was dealing with that kind of level of player. And then Corey Tulowitzki didn't hit in the second half, and it just fell off. And I wound up mid-pack, I think, ninth place or something like that. Wasn't very happy because I was first, second, and third for most of the first 4.5 to 5 months of the year, and it just – the team just died. And the other, my dynasty leagues, Tim, I'm really happy with them. I got third in DL2. The other three are rebuilding, and I think I'm totally poised to run for the money next year. And
good.
In the third one, I think I had 96 points. I came in like fourth or fifth place. And I'm not sure. I got to really take a look at that league because something bizarre is going on in that league where people have great whips, and I can't figure out why. So I need to take a look at it. I have pretty good pitching in that league, and yet I was really down and WHIP and ERA and my ratios and strikeouts and wins, I was way up, Timmy, and my WHIP and ERA weren't bad. So, I mean, people were scoring with like 1.09 and their WHIP. I mean, that's crazy. So I need to really take a look at what's going on there.
Yeah, it sounds to me like there's a lot of people possibly using relief pitchers.
I think I definitely think that's what's happening, Timmy. And I got to figure out how to play that because I had 97 wins, 101, but there's a bunch of. Let me try to figure out the ERA. The winning ERA was 3.32, and my ERA kind of fell. ERAs went up and WHIPs went up this year, Timmy, because everybody's hitting home runs.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just from DL2 off the top of my head because you know I think we finished second with. I think it was around a 1.115 WHIP. Most of my leagues, I'm finding, if you want to win in WHIP, 1.10 or so was sort of a target, and a whole bunch in the 1.15 to 1.20 range. That you know, in 15 team leagues, that's what I was experiencing. But if you've got a whole slew of WHIPs below 1.10, that is unusual.
I lied, Timmy. It's I'm looking at it. Maybe my pitching wasn't as good as 115, 116, 119, 119, 120, 120. Those are the top six guys. That's pretty good whips still.
Yeah, it is good whips, but that's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And so that team just I don't quite have enough offense. I've got really good players. So I got Mookie Betts in that league, and I got some other guys. The names escape me at the moment, but it's I think Manny Machado's on that team. So I've got some really good young players, and again, Steven Strasburg and Cole Hamill and Darvish. I mean, so it's a good pitching staff as well. So I just
sounds
need
like
to.
Yeah, it sounds like a few tweaks, and you're in business.
Yeah, I think I'm right there. And again, I was probably 10 points out of the money, so I was right there. I think I finished with 96 points, and just 10 points out of the money. And the first place guy was way out in front. So, but I'll analyze that, and figure out what's going on, and try to make some tweaks there. But pretty good season. So one money in one league, and everything else, besides my NFVC was definitely on the up. So I felt pretty good.
Yeah, that's excellent, Rich. You know, because once you get to a certain stage, I find in dynasty leagues, it doesn't take very much to put you over the hump. It really doesn't. Like, I know we were trying for back-to-back in DL2, but we really, our team really wasn't that good. But all it took was a lucky break and picking up Villar in the off-season draft and Contreras and Bregman and... That made up the difference and kept us in the running despite the injuries. So, you know, when you get into those fall drafts and you're looking at 10-round drafts, if you can find one or two gems there, it can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And, again, I did want to just dwell on this for a moment. But first of all, just you had Jose Fernandez in that league, and that's going to hurt you, Tim.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that is going to hurt. Our pitching is going to need, you know, we've got Kershaw and Quintana and Arrieta, who disappointed me down the stretch. I like Eichhoff, but we are going to have to find a pitcher, and maybe we'll have to look at trading away some of that abundance of stolen bases we have to acquire that pitcher.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. But that's not a trading league, Tim. So the people don't trade a lot. So sometimes you get people that are wheelers and dealers, and sometimes you get people that like to stand pat, and that's one of those leagues that people like to stand pat.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll be in contact with Dr. Robert, and we'll work something out probably.
Yeah, I like Robert. He's not only a good player, but he actually is pretty active, and I think I like that kind of a lot. Real quickly on Jose Fernandez. And Timmy, I don't know if you watch the game with the Orioles the Mets on Monday. Did you get a chance to watch, when they gave tribute to Jose Fernandez?
No, I didn't, but I did see all the tapes on it.
Now, look, you're not a Jeffrey Loria fan, but Tim, you got to give it up for the Miami Marlins. They did they did a remarkable job at giving tribute to him. I thought everybody wearing 16 was remarkable. At the end of the game, everybody formed a circle around the mound, and it was, man, Timmy, if you didn't have mist in your eyes, tears in your eyes, you don't have a heart. I mean, that was just, man, it was very moving, and they just did a great job.
Well, yeah, and then D. Gordon goes out and hits a home run. Yeah.
Tim, it was a bomb, too. I mean, an absolute – jacked it. Yeah. So much adrenaline running through that little body, and he jacked it.
Yeah, no, despite my feelings that are well-known for Jeffrey Loria, you put that aside in times like these. You simply do. That's what it's all about. And it was a terrible tragedy, and, you know, the honor – that were bestowed and in that game were truly moving. There was no doubt about it, Rich.
Yeah. Timmy, just we're going to get into some playoff talk here in a minute, but how surprised are you that the St. Louis Cardinals are not going to the postseason?
I'm a bit surprised. I think I had them pegged, didn't I?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
That was last week, long ago, far away, just distant galaxy, right?
I'm not surprised. I mean, if you read my writings, Prospect 361, I feel like I saw this coming over the last couple of years, because you could start to see that team aging. You could start to see that minor league softening, and this was eventually going to happen. I mean, Yadier Molina is not Yadier Molina anymore. Matt Holliday is way over the hill. Adam Wainwright is just not the same pitcher anymore. And Randal Grichuk, as good as a season he had, a surprise to me. I mean, he's not kind of a first division starter that you want in the outfield and in a championship team. He's just not.
No, I think the biggest problem there is pitching, but they've got a couple of kids that aren't too far away, and let's face it, Carmart had a very, very good year. So, you know, Holliday, he's finished, I believe. He's already written his letter to the fans thanking them, and, you know, there's going to be some change, but they still have a pretty good young core. When you look at Diaz and you look at Piscotty, and there's some players in St. Louis, and they've got some more on the way. So I wouldn't write them off totally. Looking at the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to be a good team.
Yeah, I don't agree. I love Alex Reyes, as you know, but
right.
I think after that, tell me what pitching is. I mean, Luke Weaver is probably a number four. I just don't see the pitching that's there, and maybe 2018 they can restock as all the free agents. There's no free agents next year, Tim. And pitching, Rich Hill is the top free agent.
Yeah, but if you can build a rotation around Carmart and Reyes with Wainwright as a 3-4, that's not a bad start.
Yeah, first I think Alex Reyes, we'll see what he does next year. I think there's a real good chance he is up and down. I mean, this is a guy that still struggles with his control. So we'll see if he is, you know, how good he actually will be. He had a remarkable start this week, and strikeouts are going to be there. I think he'll be actually a pretty good fantasy player, but I'm not sure how good of a baseball pitcher he's still going to be. I think there's still maturity left.
Yeah, there probably is, but I never write the Cardinals off. I think they'll find a way. Maybe they'll trade with Atlanta or something, or Arizona.
I just don't think that. And look, it could be just my love for the Houston Astros and Jeff Luhnow, but I think that team is not as good without him. And I think that team's a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I have a gut feeling that we're going to have a steak and liquor bet next spring on the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, we might just do that. Timmy, we're going to have a relatively short show. Sorry, everyone. I mean, the season is over. Tim and I are tired. Next week, we really start to plow into prepping for next year. I mean, but let's kind of review this year, and I kind of want to give out some from baseball awards for the season, like who wins and who do you think wins? So just kind of go through the MVPs and so forth. So, Timmy, let's start first with MVP NL and AL. Who do you have winning the NL MVP, and who do you think should win? They can be both the same person, but if you think that somebody's going to win, but you really believe somebody else deserves it, let's hear it.
Well, you know, when you look at the NL MVP, I think Chris Bryant is going to win it. I don't think, per se, he deserves it. I'm going with Nolan Arenado. You know, you look, Arenado bested him in home runs, in batting average. He had 25 more RBIs than the next closest to him, which was Matt Kemp and Anthony Rizzo. You know, two out of three of the Triple Crown should be enough to win NL MVP, which is what Arenado has done. But my gut says Bryant is going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Nolan Arenado, as you know, Timmy, the voters will vote for guys who are on a championship-quality team. We see that over and over again. We're going to find that in the American League. So I still think Mike Trout's the best baseball player in baseball, and he ain't going to win it. That's a really good call on Nolan Arenado. I do think Chris Bryant wins it. I think he probably deserves to win it, but you bring up some really, really valid points.
Yeah, it's a tough call. It really is. And let's face it, Chicago clinched back in June, and Bryant did have a big hand in that, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe he wasn't as focused over the last two or three weeks.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of the Cubs were as focused. You know, they've been putting it on cruise control and tuning up, and now all of a sudden they got to ramp it up to a whole different level.
Yeah, interesting. So AL, Timmy, who do you got winning? Who do you think will win, and who do you think should win?
Well, I think Mookie Betts. And, you know, when you look at what has happened in Boston this year, you know, with that offense, it's hard to argue against Betts, except when you look at Mike Trout, who has had an absolutely amazing season. Trout's won it twice.
With no help.
Yeah, well, you know, you mean Albert stealing bases didn't help him this year?
Yeah, right. That's what's remarkable about Mike Trout. I mean, Albert's still a good player. Cowboy Cole Hanhoon's still a good player, but Mookie Betts had great players around them.
Yeah, we talked about the team ops last week, and absolutely amazing. But Mike Trout, I think Betts is going to win it, and it's sort of ironic because Trout finishes second, having quite possibly a better year than when he won it, right?
I know. And, yeah, Tim, he's going for a Hall of Fame career, but he could be a guy given how bad the Los Angeles Angels will be. Now, we have to agree there, right? That's a bad team for the next, for years.
Until they get rid of Socia, yeah, it's not going to get any better, I don't think, either.
Right, and Mike Trout's going to be in his formative years while he's playing for the Los Angeles Angels. He could be a guy that wins one MVP and finish runner-up in six or seven. That's the kind of player that might even be more – it might be an indictment on the whole baseball writers thing when how can a guy year over year come in second? This will be the third time he'll come in second to him. So this is not just, you know, making this stuff up. I mean, that would be an indictment. That guy's been so good, but yet you gave it to a random guy who just had a better year, who maybe played on a better team. Really? That's what you're doing?
Well, and, you know, you could take a look and use Miggy Cabrera as an example. He had another fantastic year this year, and he's probably going to finish third. He's going to go – Miggy's going to go down in history as being the bridesmaid that never was.
Yeah, well, he did win back-to-back, right, because I think, because the Trout finished second both of those years, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. My memory's shot, Rich.
What was the line, Timmy? About your memory, I forgot.
No, the memory's solid. The recall sucks.
There you go. That's the phrase that pays. Let's see. Major League Baseball Most Valuable Player Award. Let's see, Timmy. This is our show. We can do whatever the heck we want. Miguel Cabrera, 2012, 2013. And it doesn't say the runner up is, but I'm pretty sure it was Mike Trout. Mike Trout wins in 2014. I'm not sure who was the runner up last year, but this is ridiculous. I mean, here he is, Mike Trout. Don't know who was the runner up. One in 2014, runner up in 12 and 13. It's probably going to be runner up in 2016.
Well, Mike Trout is going to be, as long as he continues producing at the level that he's produced thus far in his career, Mike Trout is going to be 1, 2, 3 in the voting for the next 10 years. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. Unless he gets hurt.
Unless he gets hurt, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just looking at this. Timmy, here's a guess the player. Oh, love guess the players, especially when I have the answer and you do not. 2009, and that wasn't that long ago, was it?
Nope.
All right. Let me
Jimmy Rollins.
Stop. No, that was longer than that, but you're thinking along the same line. So let's get the music going. Come on. I don't like it when the music, there it goes, doesn't play. Okay, here it is. So, Timmy, who was the AL MVP in 2009, which was 8 years ago?
I'm going to say Mo Vaughn because I like Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn was 1995. That was one Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer, holy. Joe Mauer, they hit 11 home runs in a year where everybody else hit 20.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but you see what Joe Mauer's done before? It's like five, yeah. Like now and the music won't turn off. You know who hit like nine home runs? James Loney hit his ninth home run on Saturday.
That's a good year.
Yeah, but that tells you something ain't right, Timmy. James Loney hit 9 and Joe Mauer hitting 11. Something ain't right.
Yeah, something's brewing at Doran's, that's for sure.
It's very, very bizarre. So let's see, where were we, Tim? Let me go back to the notes. We got sidetracked on the history of Major League Baseball. But
my recall's terrible tonight, Rich, by the way.
Mike Trout, I still think, is the best player in baseball. I don't know. I don't think he hit 30-30. I think he was stuck on 29-29. I was actually at the Yankees Orioles game today, Timmy. So I was watching the game and not looking at box score. So I don't know who did what today.
Trout got the stolen base, didn't get the home run.
Oh, so he got 29-30. He said he was going to steal more bases, Tim, and he did.
Yeah, he said that a couple of years ago, too, though. This year he held true to his word.
Yeah. Let's go with Cy Young, Timmy. AL and NL and AL. And AL is a bit of a crapshoot. So, but let's start with the NL. Who do you got for National League Cy Young, and who do you think should win it?
I think it's pretty hard to deny Max Scherzer. He had a great year. You know, he was, 277, 78, something like that, strikeouts. If I had to go with a dark horse of sorts, it'd be John Lester. He had himself a heck of a year. 19-5, 244 ERA. His ERA was actually 30 points better than Scherzer's, but I think it's Scherzer's. I like Lester. I think he had a great year.
Yeah, I got Max Scherzer as well, Timmy. I got Jose Fernandez as a guy that I think is going to get some strong consideration. Had a really good year. And candidly, Tim, I mean, he passed away the week everybody was voting. So,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would be a very, very nice touch by Major League Baseball. And he had himself one heck of a year. Very, very deserving in every way. Totally agree.
That's not Major League Baseball that does it, Tim. It's the baseball writers.
Well, sorry, yes, the BBW, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I don't think they have much of a heart, so we'll see what happens. But let's go to the AL, where I think it's very interesting, Timmy, because, I mean, is Rick Porcello the guy who's going to win?
He could very well, but he's certainly not my choice.
Who is your choice, then?
My choice is a relief pitcher.
Oh, come on, not Zach.
Okay, well, we're talking about he led the AL in saves with 47 going in today. I think he got another one. That's 48. His ERA was 0.55. His whip was 0.83. 71 Ks, 65 and a third innings pitch. On April 30th, he allowed an earned run against the White Sox and took his one loss for the season. The next earned run he allowed was on August 24th, almost 4 months later. His ERA in April, May, June, and September was zero. 3 earned runs in April, 1 in August. That's it for the full year. He had 43 consecutive scoreless appearances. If you equate that to a starter, that's a pinch shy of 5 consecutive shutouts. Zach Britton has enjoyed one of the greatest years in the history of relief pitchers, and I think he should be rewarded.
I think he should be rewarded as a top relief pitcher, Timmy. But how many innings did he pitch again?
65, but I don't, it seems like 200.
If it was 200, I'd be good, Tim. But it's not. It's 65. He pitched one inning going out there. Probably about 60 or 65 appearances. So he appeared in, math is not good. What is that, 35% of the games? I know, which is more than a starter does, but I mean, why isn't he a starter if he's that good of a pitcher? And I'll tell you why, Timmy, because he tried to start and he wasn't any good.
Mm-hmm. And they moved him into the bullpen, much the same as the Jays will do that with Stroman, and the Yankees should do that with Severino, and they could be dominant relief pitchers.
I definitely think the Jays should move that with Stroman. I mean, he's a short guy, Timmy, and I think let him ramp it up a little bit, and I think just throw his fastball slider and be done like dinner.
Yeah, same with Ventura in Kansas City. There's another one.
Yep. Tell me this. One of our listeners, Tim, Chris, how do you pronounce his last name? Chris Caulfield?
Yes, Chris, my friend from England, yes.
So
he's
a writer, Tim. He writes for The Guardian, which is a very popular newspaper in the UK. And he wrote a cover story, I believe, on something to do with sports and fields
tennis.
It tennis? And his headline in bold letters on the front page of the paper, front page of the sports section, was "Don Like Dinner." And he did it in tribute to our show, which might have been the coolest thing. I don't know if it was as cool as the guy catching the baseball with a Dumb Like Dinner t-shirt on. That was right up there as well. But that's awesome.
That was totally awesome. And he's using that as his lobbying point to get into one of the new dynasty leagues. And I think that's
Dumb Like Dinner, to be honest with you.
When I saw that, I absolutely – I've known Chris for years. He's a really good guy. And when he took and as the editor, put that on the front page of their paper, I couldn't believe it. I just howled.
But what was Don Like Dinner? I didn't understand. Was Don maybe the guy who was involved in whatever article he was writing at?
I believe it is the place where the matches are going to be held.
Oh, okay.
The Don.
Timmy, I mean, you're becoming like a legend. I mean, you're already a legend in fantasy baseball, but now your goofy sayings are going worldwide now.
Yeah, Kathy has been saying I'm a legend in my own mind for years. So.
Oh, my word, Timmy. That's hysterical. I can't believe that he did that. And, Chris, you're in.
Yeah, pretty tough to beat that one, Rich.
Pretty tough to beat that. It's we can be bribed, and money won't do it, but stuff like that will.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'll take cash. No, just kidding.
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. Who do you get? I got Rick Porcello, and you got Zach Britton. I think you might be right. I think he might win. I'm just morally opposed to relief pitchers winning the Cy Young. I think it should go to a starting pitcher. I think positional players should win the MVP and pitchers should win Cy Young. And I that's just what I think, Tim. Could be wrong.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
No, hey, I agree with you for the most part. I think it takes a very, very exceptional year to warrant consideration. And I think this is one of those exceptions.
Yeah, and you know, Rick Porcello is a good pitcher. He's not a great pitcher. I mean, Corey Kluber is a good pitcher, not a great pitcher. And they're the two guys in the American League that had the best season. So there wasn't a Max Scherzer. There wasn't quite frankly, Clayton Kershaw could win every year. If he would have not missed, 2 months, he would have probably won the NL. I mean, he was having a remarkable year and came back and pitched really well. But there isn't that level of pitching in the American League that really stepped up this year.
No, and, you know, I liked what I saw from Darvish, but only half a season. J.A. Happ had himself a – or is it J. Happ? Had himself a great year for J-Happ. The Jays. Yeah, but again, it's J. Happ. You know, it's
– You know, I know.
I share the same sentiments sort of like with Porcello. I just don't see them as great pitchers. I think they have the potential to be good pitchers, and they were this year. But I ain't chasing either one of those guys next year.
Let's go to the Rookie of the Year. I think the NL, Tim, I think we'll both agree Corey Seager deserves it and will win it.
Yeah, I think he deserves it. I think he'll win it. But there were some really, really good rookies in the NL. You know, you look at Trey Turner, half a season, 13 homers, 40 RBIs, 53 runs, 33 stolen bases. I think that was last night, so he might even be higher. He was seventh in the NL in half a season with 33 stolen bases. You know, you look at Hernan Perez from Milwaukee. Where'd that come from? He's sixth in all of baseball with 34 stolen bases, four more than Jose Altuve. Think about that for
a second. Let's talk about Jose Altuve for a moment, Tim. He stopped stealing bases in the second half, particularly when he moved to the number. I don't know what's going on, but I am a little concerned about my little buddy over there, and I need to talk to him and say, "What are you just going to be an RBI guy now?" I, from a fantasy standpoint, I don't need that, Timmy. I need a guy that's going to steal 30 to 40 bases.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you totally. Very, very concerning the second half. I had him pegged as a top three pick. When we were looking at the All-Star break, I think it was around the All-Star break, we were talking about top three picks heading into 2017. I actually had him pegged as going as high as number one. My thoughts are changing with that second half rather quickly. I gotta have 35, 40 stolen bases out of the guy, and I don't know if I'm going to get them next year.
Yeah, the way the second half was going, you're talking 10.
Well, yeah. No, that doesn't do it.
No, I didn't hear of any injury. He looked healthy to me. I just worry that his stolen bases stopped when he moved to the number three hole. And quite frankly, in my humble opinion, yeah, he's has the best bat in that lineup. But if they're looking for the number three guy to drive in runs, put Jose Altuve in the number two hole. Let him get on base. Let him steal some bases, and he's still going to drive in some guys. I mean, he's a run creator. He's not a run producer. He is 5'4", Tim. They have enough big, burly guys that can hit drive guys in.
Put him in the two spot, Bregman in three.
Yeah, but Bregman doesn't have that speed. I totally agree with that. Bregman's is going to be every bit as now. That's probably not fair. He's going to have a really good hit, so probably not as good as Jose Altuve. That's absurd,
yeah.
The ability for him to make contact. But Jose Altuve has, you know, above average speed and great base stealing ability. Bregman doesn't.
Well, yeah, and Bregman it doesn't matter. Bregman doesn't have to hit 40 home runs. He can hit 20 and still drive in 110 if Altuve's getting on base in front of him, right?
Absolutely, and I think he'll hit as many home runs as Jose Altuve will, and you know, so let's call it 20, and maybe he might even hit 25. I think that's great, but I think he can also hit 100 RBI, and that's what Jose Altuve does. But Jose Altuve is going to get on base more because he's got a better hit tool. Not that Bregman doesn't have a great hit tool. Don't get me wrong, but I think that'll allow his stolen bases to play him from a fantasy standpoint. And that's all I care about.
Yeah, it's all about us. Yeah, and, you know, you look at the NL, and we talked about it last week. You know, Kenta Maeda, he tied for fifth in wins in the NL, 12th in Ks, 14th in ERA, and those are pretty impressive numbers. But some last food for thought here on Seager, Rich. There's this guy Trevor Story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who managed to get in 255 less at bats than Corey Seager.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up the year with one more home run and five more stolen bases. Put that into context, eh?
Yeah, that's great. Unfortunately, he got hurt and nobody's going to remember. I think it's Corey Seager,
yep,
unanimous. And I think it'll be Trey Turner unanimous for second.
Yeah, I can see it shaking down that way. And then you're going to see the rest of the votes split between Maeda, Story, and Hernan Perez.
Yep. Let's go to the AL, Timmy, which it really gets a little tricky because I know you're all over Gary Sanchez because he did hit that 20th home run I still think it's Michael Fulmer, but man, Gary Sanchez, that the narrative is hard to ignore.
Well, yeah, it's unfortunate that Fulmer couldn't get in another 2-3 innings, whatever it was, to qualify for the ERA title. But, you know, Fulmer had a great year. Sanchez had a great year at the end of the year. And I think when the voters look at it, like I said last week, I think, you know, May, June is going to be forgotten over August, September.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Timmy. And I don't think he deserves it because it does remind me of Yasiel Puig and his rookie year where people were talking he needs to be considered and so forth. And I think Gary Sanchez has had a better year than Yasiel Puig did. But he didn't get many votes. And I'm hoping that the longevity of what Michael Fulmer did will overlast what Gary Sanchez did. But we know we live in a recency society, Tim. Everybody remembers what you did for me lately.
Yeah, we certainly do. What did you do for me now? Not yesterday, but now.
Okay, Timmy, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some fantasy awards, Timmy. These are just some random stuff I put together, Timmy, and it's just like, I think some of them were kind of fun.
Yeah.
But here's the first one. The worst. Never going to do that again. I'm never drafting this guy. Forget about it. Who is your guy?
Well, I got a couple of them, but the one that's
anybody not named Scott Baker? So tell me on the – so for new listeners, Scott Baker's Tim – one of Tim's like all time, I'm never drafting this guy again. And if you don't remember Scott Baker, don't know who he is, go look it up. He's a very frustrating player. Is there anybody in the Scott Baker level?
Yeah, there is one player, and he's a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, and his name would be Jordan Zimmermann. You have now achieved Scott Bakerish rankings on the Tim McLeod Never Will Touch with a 25-foot pole again.
You know, he might have lost the season for them when he couldn't do it last night. And I'm shocked that the Tigers didn't make it to the playoffs and that the Baltimore Orioles, with no pitching, are making it to the playoffs. And the Tigers just fell apart the last week.
Yeah, here's two sets of numbers to ponder, okay? ERA, 266, 366, 487, 107, 120, 137. That would be the last 3 years for one Jordan Zimmermann.
Yeah, I mean, Timmy, he had Tommy John surgery, and it's, you know, he could be, that arm just could be getting tired, and he's getting older, and he's laughing all the way to the bank because he signed a $100 million deal last year.
Yeah, he's 31 next year, so he isn't a spring chicken anymore, that's for sure.
No, you said you got a couple players, but Jordan Zimmermann's a great one. I drafted him, was it last year, Tim? I get confused. And he had a good year, but if you owned him, you realize how bad it really was.
Yeah. My other ones are, well, Sin-Soo Chu.
Well, what happened
to
Sin-Soo Chu? He's not even playing, Tim. He gets injured every other week.
Well, that would be one of the reasons that he's on my list. that and the fact that he hit 242 and 178 at-bats with 7 home runs and 17 RBIs. The other one is Kevin Pillar. We don't use defensive metrics in our game. Okay, he's okay as a 5th-6th outfielder, but 14 stolen bases, 7 home runs. Yeah. And last but not least, and I didn't own any of these guys, but Delino DeShields. Like, we warned people about DeShields, and... you know, Delino DeShields is a 4th outfielder, and treat him accordingly. The 5th guy I had is yours, and I'm going to turn that one all over to you because I totally agree with you on your call, Rich.
Yeah, I think he's at the top of the list, Timmy, and that is one Jason Hayward. I mean, this is a guy that I picked number one in the Dynasty League, Tim. Number one overall pick in my Dynasty League 4 years ago when – we thought that Jason Hayward was going to break out, and something happened where he started selling out for power And then he just started rolling over on everything. And he's gotten in some terrible habits. I thought things were going to change when, you know, he went from Atlanta to St. Louis, and then eventually went to wherever the heck he is now. Because I refuse to even the Cubs, where everybody's hitting. He's in a great lineup, and he stinks, Tim. He stinks.
Well, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't his rookie season or sophomore 27 home runs and 80-some-odd RBIs, stolen bases all over the place? And that was it. And there it was, gone.
And, well, he had some stolen bases last year, but when I looked and I started benching him, Tim, in a 15-team league, and I think I read off some of the outfielders I was playing in front of him. My number one draft pick a mere 4 years ago in the Dynasty League, only 26, 27 years old, in the prime of his career, was riding the pine as guys who I thought – I was playing Jason Worth in front of Jason Hayward. He signed over a $200 million contract last year, Timmy.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I owned Hayward in one league this year. It was a 12-team league. And I cut him.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, there just wasn't anything there.
I whiffed on him, but I guess we're not alone because the Chicago Cubs, it didn't cost us, it might have cost me a first-round draft pick, but it cost the Cubs $200 billion. So I don't feel so bad, but that's one guy I just don't understand. And he seemed like he was a work ethic kind of guy. You gotta believe he's gotta be like, what the hell's happened? Like go to the bat doctor and try to figure out how you're rolling over on everything and work on some of your mechanics, Tim, because this isn't playing. It would be great for the Cubs just to say, you know, Jason Hayward, we were listening to Rich and Tim on Sunday. They're right. You're on the bench.
Well, at some point in time, it's going to happen. Like maybe next year when Schwarber's back.
I think you're right, Timmy, and he's going to be a late-inning defensive guy.
Well,
and,
yeah, they're not going to play him if he doesn't contribute at some point in time. Can you imagine ownership looking at that and having to eat that amount of money? Like, I know baseball's filthy with money, but that's a pile of change, that is.
And it's like a crazy contract, Timmy. I think he can opt out. Ain't no way he's opting out given what he's doing. But it's like 8 or 9 years. It's a long-ass deal, and it's going to be ugly.
Oh, yeah, because let's face it, as some of the Cubs' younger talent starts emerging, they're going to want some half-decent money as well, right?
Yeah. And for you, everybody who wants to play in these Dynasty League, and they are fun – this is the other side of it, Tim, that no one ever talks about. You whiff on your first-round draft pick, and in the Dynasty League where you keep everybody, it hurts year over year. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah. It never goes away, ever, ever. I'm trying to think of the first baseman that I drafted years ago in DL1. He was with Miami at the time. He was coming off a half-decent season, but I think I drafted him in about the fifth, sixth round. And the only year he ever hit 20 home runs was the year before I drafted him. And it took 2 years to straighten out the mess of a couple bad picks at the beginning of a fantasy dynasty draft.
They're tough, Timmy, and it can get ugly, and you got to be able to have courage and move them. And I know our good buddy Alan Servinus wanted Jason Hayward for 2 years, and I refused to give him up, and he was giving me half his team. He loved Jason, as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have moved him, Timmy, and I didn't. And he stinks. He's never going to be another one on my team. I'm stuck with him on DL4. I got him. I'm just not going to waive him yet just because it just pains me. But it sucks.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's sort of a catch-22 suffering, Rich, because you keep him. And every time you look at your lineup, okay, it reminds you of where you drafted this guy. But at the same point, you're not going to give him up to somebody because the second you do, you know he's going to go 20-80 with 30 stolen bases and bat 300. And then he's going to hurt even more, right? So you suffer.
Yeah, but after I'm going to move him because that my team in DL4 is jacked, man. I got Moncada. I've got Benintendi. I've got Carlos Correa. I've got some And I got other young guys that are coming, and that's a really jacked team. So once it's jacked and I'm moving, which will probably next year or the year after, bye-bye, Jason Hayward. I'm just going to dump them. It's going to be one of those mid-week dumps, Tim, when you drop them and everybody sees it. It's not going to be during waiver wire. It's going to be dropped out there.
Well, yeah, if you got somebody like that, you want to announce that you're cutting ties on a permanent basis and let everybody else spend their life's earnings to try and get his services, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, Timmy, most promising rookie that isn't named Sanchez, Seager, Turner, or Fulmer. Who is it, Timmy?
Well, you know, again, I got two here. I got Alex Bregman for one.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Bregman. I really do. Moving forward, and you know, despite the fact that I lost that steak and liquor bet, just to let you know, in 21 less at bats, Bregman had one more home run and 10 more RBIs than David Dahl. Not that that means anything in our bet, but Bregman's a good player.
Yep.
And the other, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just Tim. All I gotta say is you still lost.
Yeah, because I was a dumbass and picked stolen bases. Jeez, Tim.
Yeah, it's that fast-talking New Yorker in me. I'm not even from New York, but you know what I mean, Timmy. It just I outfoxed you on that.
The big city boy beat up on the poor country lad, right?
I know.
Pumpkin.
Because I'm like, did he just agree to that? Okay, Don, like dinner. Let's move on to the next topic, Tim. Oh, the volume's not working anymore, Tim. I'm sorry. Something happened to Mr. McLeod. We have to end the show now.
I will never, ever question your listening skills again as long as I live, Mr. Wilson. Never, ever.
So you said you got Bregman and who else?
And here's my first bold prediction for next season. My second player is a catcher. His name is Wilson Contreras of the Cubs. And my bold prediction is he has a better year next year than Gary Sanchez.
I'm gonna say there's a reasonable chance that that happens. Gary Sanchez is a more talent. I've seen him both play in the minor leagues. He's got better bat speed. He's just a massive man. I saw him today. It's just he's a big boy.
Yeah, he is.
And, I mean, Contreras is very, very good, too, but I would not be at all surprised if you're correct. I do think Gary Sanchez is the better player, but Contreras is better than a lot of people thought. And the guy I wanted to draft last year in Dynasty Leagues, it just people outfoxed me on him, and you just don't have as many picks as you like, and I got snookered.
Yeah, no, we own him in DL too. We took him with our second pick at 15, and we're very, very happy with him. But I think when you start looking at Contreras, I think he's going to fall a little bit in the catcher rankings. I think he's going to go fairly high, but Gary Sanchez is going to go insanely high.
I agree with you. My guy, Timmy, and I whiffed on this guy. I'll be the first to say is Aledmys Diaz. There's more pop. He controls the strike zone better than I thought he did. Thought he would. I missed on him, Timmy, and he's a lot better than I thought he was. Again, I'm pretty sure that Alan Servinus offered me Aledmys Diaz in a trade to get Jason Hayward. I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh,
no. No, that's how bad it is. I know.
Who didn't Alan offer? It might be the easiest
question. I think he offered his half his team. I'm pretty sure Byron Buxton was in there as well. I mean, it's painful, Timmy. It's painful.
Yes, you're going to suffer for a bit with that one, I think, Rich.
It's a tough one, Timmy. Okay, the rookie, Timmy, that you want in your team next year, I think you've already said it, Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, Contreras is definitely one. The other guy that really intrigues me is a guy that supposedly has trouble adapting from level to level. And this past week, man, Hunter Renfrew has looked like a real player. Did you see that bomb that he hit the other night? Wow.
I have, Timmy. And it's a guy that I've taken a lot of criticism from a lot of people, Timmy, that said, Hunter Renfrow, not that good, going to play in San Diego, blah, blah, blah. What are you writing? Why do you still think he's a top prospect? I was pumping him up in the 30s and 40s on my top 100 list. Timmy, I saw the guy too many times. The power, I don't care how big Petco Park is this is a guy that can hit it out of anywhere. He's a big, strong dude. He is going to strike out a lot, but he's a big, strong dude. And guess what? Petco Park is not the pitcher's park that it used to be. This is a place that you can hit home runs in now. Look at what Will Myers. Thank you. What Will Myers did.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, when I saw the one that he put up on the roof of the garage, as I call it, he doesn't have to worry about wherever the fences are. I totally agree. He can hit it a mile.
The guy I want, Tim, is Trey Turner. And we're going to do a lot of analysis on home runs versus stolen bases because I've got some really interesting facts. But I'm hoping that Trey Turner doesn't go in the first round because I'm looking at mocks where he's going early in the second round, I'm going to try to trade down and pick in the bottom half of the first round to try to get him coming back because I think there's going to be a boatload of stolen bases, a boatload of runs, enough pop. I think he's a dynamite talent.
Well, you know, as a result of my placing eighth in tote this year, I've got the eighth pick next year, Rich. I can relatively guarantee that Trey Turner will not make it to the wheel.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I think, I saw things with Carlos Correa this year, and he did well, Timmy. But I don't know. Does Trey Turner go before Carlos Correa this year?
I think he does. And I think the reason he does is not because he's a better player, all-around player. I think the reason he goes that early is because our world is relatively short on one category, that being the speed category. And I think you're going to see all of the speed guys moving up. I could see Marte going in the first round. The speed guys, by the time you get to the third round, all of your top speed guys will be gone, VR included.
Yeah. I hear you, Timmy. I know. Because it's not just – because speed actually hasn't gone down. Its power has gone up. That's the headline. That's what I'll share with you in the coming weeks. Because I looked over year, it's just the power is ridiculous. The home run power is ridiculous. The strikeouts are ridiculous. I mean, baseball has become what we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years, and that's everybody, the chicks dig the long ball, and everybody wants to hit a home run 500 feet to be Giancarlo Stanton, and they don't care if they strike out 200 times because they're going to get paid a lot of money, and that's where the game has moved. And all of a sudden, you can get a 25 home run guy in the 15th round, and you can't get a stolen base guy after round 3. And there goes Tim, is gone. After my my rant, he is gone. So I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, and when he comes back, we will get going back with the show. And we are back, and there is no great Tim McLeod. So I'm anxious. So he said the rookie that he wants on his team is Wilson Contreras. I've got Trey Turner. I'm going to just keep going down, and we'll pick up Tim. So I said the next one is the pitcher that you want on your team next year, not rookie or anything, just the pitcher you want, somebody that you can be able to get a little bit late. I got Dylan Bundy. I've always been a huge Dylan Bundy fan. I think we've seen some up and down with him, but I think he's going to be a very, very strong performer. So I'm all over on Dylan Bundy. And Mr. McLeod, you are back. What do you think about Dylan Bundy, Tim? He's the pitcher that I want on my team next year.
Well, I'm not surprised. You've wanted him on your team since T-ball or shortly thereafter, right? You've been a big supporter and a big fan of Bundy's, and why not? You know, we're seeing things this year that leads one to believe that better days are ahead, much better days, and I got no problems with that pick at all.
Who's the pitcher you want on your team, Timmy?
Pitcher I want on my team is a pitcher that you touted could be Clayton Kershaw-esque in nature, and who has had one heck of a September and is looking like the pitcher that we envisioned a little bit sooner. He's excuse me, he only turns 24 next April. 2-0 in September, 38 Ks and 29 2/3, 2.73 ERA, and that would be one Daniel Norris.
Yeah, Timmy, I took a lot of hits on that one as well. A lot of them self-inflicted because I felt like, what did I miss with this guy? And the poor guy had thyroid cancer and just was a little young when they promoted him last year. But this guy is really, really good, and he's got moxie, and he's got a work ethic that is, you know, he's got he's one of the double plus makeup guys. So lefty as well, throw that in, and I think he's going to be very, very good. That's a great call, Timmy.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be targeting him all over the place next year. Right after you, Darvish, by the way, who I'm going to be targeting real early next year.
I agree with you there, Timmy. We've had crazy people with home runs, Timmy, and so here's the next category. It's just the biggest surprising power this year. It's like, I mean, I mentioned James Loney with 9 home runs. That could be one. I mean, Joe Mauer. I didn't realize Joe Mauer had 11 home runs. And these are guys that hit 2 or 3 home runs. But, Timmy, my guy, and I'll let you weigh in, Brad Miller. Brad Miller, I think, highest watermark was 11. He hit 30 home runs this year. This is Brad Miller. That's impossible.
Yeah, if you would have predicted, okay, last February that Brad Miller was going to hit 30 home runs, okay, our listening audience would have been 2, me and you.
Now, exactly, Tim. I mean, that's just stupid. We've added ad nauseum. It's like something ain't right. But Brad Miller, to me, has got to be the most surprising 30 home run guy out there. Who's your guy?
Well, you know, with 111 players, okay, hitting 20 or more home runs this year, there's no shortage to choose from. And I broke it down into 2 groups, okay? Most surprising that they hit a lot and that they hit few. And in my hit a lot, Adam Duvall with 33. And he slowed down in the second half. And your favorite and my favorite player, the former San Diego Padre, Jed Jerko, hit 30 home runs this year.
Jed Jerko is another guy. There's no way, Timmy, he doesn't have 20 home run power.
He hit 30 home runs this year. That boggles my mind. And I was a big supporter of Jed back in the day, but 30 home runs, come on, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Chris Davis, KHRIS Davis, I think he hit 40-plus. This is a guy that I thought might hit 25 home run in Oakland. That's how ridiculous it is. And you remember you talked and said, he's definitely going to hit 25. You gave me all the reasons. Go back, everybody, listen to one of the pregame shows. He hit 40 home runs, Tim.
Yeah, 40 home runs, yeah. Everybody hit 20. Half the league hit 30. Is 40 the new 20?
That's a really good point. So all of a sudden you got a guy named like Jonathan Scope, and you're like, oh, well, he hit 22, 23 home runs. That's great. No, it's not.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things that a lot of people are going to forget in this whole process, well, you know, and I've heard it already, and it sort of concerns me a bit, Rich, is that everybody's saying, okay, there's lots of power, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, hey, you know what? There's lots of power, but there's still a spread on that power. You know, you can go late on power and end up with a whole bunch of 20 home run guys and think you've done real well and still finish last in home runs.
Agreed, and I think what also people, if you play in rotisserie leagues where maybe batting average is a category, if it's a traditional one, you'll wait on those guys, and all of a sudden your batting average will be sitting bottom 3, and then you don't have a chance to win the league. So you still got to get guys that can hit and hit with some power, and I also think that's going to be an interesting strategy, making sure that you get guys like Jose Altuve and Trey Turner and these guys that get lots of at-bats and are going to have a high batting average. They're going to allow you to maybe go after some cheap power late and take a 230, 240 batting average along with it.
Couldn't agree anymore. And, you know, getting back to the power, the two guys that are I consider equally as surprising are Bryce Harper with 24 home runs and Paul Goldschmidt with 24. Everybody was up this year. Those two guys, 24 each, 8, even though they augmented it with solid stolen bases, 21 for Harper and 32 for Goldschmidt. You know, I was surprised.
How many stolen bases did Goldschmidt have?
32.
He had two today. 32
yeah.
stolen bases. Are you
maybe
kidding me? Really?
Maybe 34 with the two. I'm not sure where I took the stats from, whether it was last night or this morning. Yeah, 30-plus stolen bases for Paul Goldschmidt, but only 24 home runs.
Yes, yeah, that's a problem, Timmy, because you didn't count on him for 34 stolen bases. And, you know, so also maybe your home runs are off if you're playing in a rotisserie league. So these guys got to do somewhat what you predict. Otherwise, you're all upside down somewhere.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what happened to me with Charlie Blackmon and Tote, okay? You know, he hit 27 home runs, and everybody's saying, hey, he had a great year. He hit 27 home runs. Well, I couldn't give a rat's patootie about 27 home runs. He only stole 16 bases. That's what I was paying for. I didn't get it, and I couldn't find the other when I needed to. And that's the tough part of the game is, you know, hey, you're never going to complain about a few extra stolen bases or a few extra home runs, but if you're not buying what you thought you were, then you might have a problem, especially in short categories like speed.
Most surprising speed, Timmy. I should have looked closer. To me, that's Paul Goldschmidt, but I have Mike Trout down as, I mean, a guy that up to 30 stolen bases, he solidifies himself as the unquestionable number one draft pick for me next year. But who do you have as a surprising speed? Is it Paul Goldschmidt?
No, actually, it's not. He's on my list. He's one of three. Hernan Perez with 34.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Like, really? Hernan Perez with 34 stolen bases? And another guy that totally shocked me this year is in San Diego, and that's Will Myers, 28 stolen bases. That's huge numbers. You got two first basemen. Say you're going in next year, okay, to your draft, okay? First base isn't going to be overly deep. There's a lot of question marks. What if you went with Goldschmidt and Myers with your one and two picks? Interesting, eh?
That really is, Timmy. And so you got one playing first and one playing corner and getting 50 home runs and potentially 50 stolen bases out of there. That's pretty interesting.
And shorting the first base category at the same time, right?
Yeah. Is Will Myers a first-round draft pick?
Early mid-second, I would think.
Let's see. Will Myers. Let's see what he is. Will Myers, I see this is as of yesterday. Looking at Baseball Reference here, Timmy. He is 2016. Why are there so many? Oh, that's his fielding. Who cares about fielding, Tim? Where's his? Oh, here he is.
Where's the important numbers?
Where's the important numbers? Standard. Here he goes. He's only 25 years old, Timmy.
Yep.
28 stolen bases, 28 home runs. Holy cow.
Nice.
He batted 257. That's not good. 160 strikeouts over six. Pardon me?
What's his OBP?
335.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Yeah, it's acceptable. Yeah, the problem is 160 strikeouts over 68 walks. He's still not controlling the strike zone very well. But, man, 28, 10, yeah, that's might be a first-round pick. I'd definitely gone by the second round.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be around for the third round. There's not a hope. But, you know, the question is, what does he do next year? How many bases does he steal? How many bases does Goldschmidt steal? I had Goldschmidt down for a slight decline in stolen bases this year. Oops.
So, I don't understand this, Timmy. 2013, five stolen bases. 14,
right.
Six stolen bases. 15, five stolen bases. 28 stolen bases. And then also we look at his power. 13 in 2013. 6, 8, yes, injured both of those years. And then 28.
Right.
I mean, do you risk a second-round draft pick on Will Myers, given the fact that do you trust that he can do this, or is this the outlier year?
Well, are you playing to win, or are you playing safe?
Try to play smart.
Oh, well, don't ask me. I don't know how to do that, Rich.
So there is risk, though, right? I mean,
there is definite risk, but when you look at a player like Myers, what did you have Myers pegged for watching him come up through the minors? Is he a legitimate 25 home run type?
Yes. I had him pegged at 20 to 25 home run. You know, even in Kansas City, when he did that. And then, you know, clearly San Diego is no longer the pitcher's park as we've talked about. No way he's not a double plus. 28 stolen bases says you got double plus speed or you're a savant out on the base pass. I mean, one of the two.
Well, yeah, that 28 stolen, that's a big number. You know, if you can put even 25 home run power, you get a couple of the kids up next year, slap Renfrew in either in front of them or behind them to give them some protection, put Manny Margot in the leadoff spot. That should give him a little protection. And based on what you're saying, unless he gets hurt, 25 home runs is not out of the question. Well, even if he steals 15 bases, that's still pretty good, isn't it? 90 RBIs?
Yeah. Yeah, this is batting average is a thing that's going to be struggle with a little bit. So, because that 160 strikeouts on top of 672 plate appearances, that's not, well, it's at 75% off the top of my head in terms of strikeout percentage. Let's see, hold on for a second. 160 over 672, that makes his strikeout percentage 23%, 24%. That's not good.
No, it's not good, but it's not Tim Anderson-esque.
Yeah. Has Tim Anderson been – I haven't checked his strikeouts. Has he been not good?
Well, I think he's up to 13. I think I saw 12 or 13 walks. I don't know. All I know is it's not a pretty
number. Well, he's always been
in
very, very aggressive. I didn't think he had horrible contact ability, but let's check. He's up to 13 stolen bases, so you need to apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, their parents.
13 stolen bases or walks?
13 walks, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought he had 9 or 10 stolen bases.
100, yeah, he had 10 stolen bases, 114 strikeouts, and 13 walks. That's not good.
No, that sort of puts him in a league all of his own, huh?
So let's see. That's 98 games.
Mm-hmm.
So 98 games divided by, what, 6 games per week?
Mm.
Something like that. Is that what you would say, Tim? That's 16.
Sure.
He's walking less than once a week.
I hope he enjoys the stroll. I walk more than that.
I know. Oh, Timmy, it's going to be so much fun talking off the. It's funny. My wife joined me at the Yankee Stadium and going to see the Orioles play, and you know, we're trained back, and she's like, "So you said?" Well, not really, because I think the off season, from a fantasy standpoint, and quite frankly, from a baseball standpoint, is it's not as much fun as in season. But Tim, it doesn't take much of a step down.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I have just as much fun with the off season. I love our podcast when we get into the rookies and we get into free agency and mock draft. The off season's a hoot. Baseball is a 365 endeavor if you want to play it good.
Yeah, and then you've got the winter meetings and all the trades, and it's just fun.
I totally agree. It's just one part of that annual cycle that we go through, and all parts. Hey, if you want that wheel to go round, you better be hopping on the train right at the beginning. As far as I'm concerned,
now a time that is not. Look, I'm going to. People might stop listening to this podcast because you'll hate me. I'm going to say this. One of the things I don't like as much, Tim, quite frankly, is the playoffs. And that's what's coming up. I mean, I enjoy, I watch them. I enjoy the individual games, but I never play in those World Series or postseason fantasy leagues. And it's just nothing's allowed to happen while all this stuff is going on. It's like, come on, let's get it over with so we can start trading and, you know, all the off-season stuff. So I actually find it a little long, and it's like, come on, let's get it over with.
Yeah, you know what? My team's the Expos, okay? So you know where I stand on playoff baseball.
That's right. I'm going to love watching the Cubs play. I really am, and I'm really rooting for them just because of the 108 years and so forth. But I don't have a team anymore, Tim.
Well, yeah, a lot of us playing fantasy sports don't have teams anymore. Our loyalties are very short-term, and they're divided amongst the players that are doing well for us. But, no, I sort of agree. Hey, our game is over now. at least for the next month. And now we have to put up with the real game in playoffs. Why don't they just do a best out of three or something like that and give it to somebody, and then we can get on with all of our stuff.
I agree with you, Timmy. Now I am not a very good host because I got to try to find out, and I saw this in, because we have to talk about the playoffs, and I don't know who's playing whom. And I saw this evening, and I didn't write it down. So you're going to have to give me a second here.
Okay, no problem at all.
It's
a priority for both of us, isn't it, the playoffs?
It bums me out because I remember definitely looking at it. Let's see, because it was on the MLB app and it had it in there. We just go, okay. Coming, it's almost there, Timmy. I do know that it is going to be for the play-in game. It is going to be the Baltimore Orioles against the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto.
Yes, I got to go with the Jays on that one.
I got to go with the Jays. Is Bundy going to start that game?
Ubaldo? I don't know. It won't be Wade Miley, I doubt, but he's actually pitched well.
I think it's Bundy, Timmy. I think that they didn't start him today. They started Gausman today, and Bundy will be on an extra couple of days of rest, and he's pitched very well.
Yeah, no, Bundy and Gausman will determine the Orioles' future. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I just think the Jays are going to be tough to beat at home.
I agree with you there, and it's I kind of rooting for the Orioles. I would like to see the Orioles win, just because. But then we've got the NL play-in game, and that is your San Francisco Giants traveling cross country to hook up with the New York Metropolitans, and I'm assuming it's Noah Syndergaard playing in that play-in game. So I would think you'd have to favor them.
This is where all of the listeners that stuck around after your comments about the playoffs and mine, this is where they disappear, because I'm going with the Giants, Rich.
I'm assuming Mad Bum pitches.
Yeah, that would be my assumption. Yep.
Yeah, but the Mets are hitting. I mean, they're hitting the ball now. So, remember they hit in August last year. Well, this year they hit in September, and it kept going. They don't have any Daniel Murphy, but that's been a pretty good team.
Even year.
All right, even year. All right, you got San Francisco. I got the Mets going. All right,
okay.
So the rest of it here, if I'm looking correctly, Texas clinches the division. They have home field throughout the World Series in Chicago. So those are your two top seeded players. So it looks like Cleveland in the AL, Boston goes to Cleveland, and the winner of the play-in game goes to Texas. So let's start Cleveland and Boston. Who do you got?
Oh, again, more listeners deserting us. I'm going with the Indians.
They've lost every pitcher.
Oh, they haven't lost every pitcher. They've got Trevor Bauer in his wiggle stick, but
he's pitching the first game, and then Corey Kluber, who's kind of injured, Timmy. He hurt himself, like a hammy or something like that. He came out of the game.
Yeah, he's going to start game number two, but the difference maker for me there is the bullpen. And the Indians have a pen. Right now, Boston is very, very sketchy. I don't know. I watched Craig Kimbrell the other night, and right now he doesn't have a clue, not a clue where his fastball is going. He's all over the place. And I think although Boston has the best offense in the game, Cleveland's offense isn't too shabby either. So I'm going to go with the Tribe over Boston in an upset.
I got Boston. Okay. Texas and Toronto, because we both – well, I got Texas and Orioles. You got Texas and Toronto. Who wins that that other series?
One of the reasons that I want Toronto is because I want to see a series to Texas and Toronto. There's bad blood there. I think it would be an intriguing matchup. I'd like to see somebody slide into second base and see what Rogie has to say about it in a playoff game. But I think the dynamics are there that it would be a fascinating series. with Texas and Toronto, and I'm going to go with Texas winning.
I got Texas winning as well. I mean, Cole Hamill and Yu Darvish, 1-2 with maybe Derek Collin coming in 3, I'm assuming. Colby Lewis is back. Martin Perez becomes kind of probably a long guy, a mop-up kind of guy. I like Texas a lot, so I'm going
the
with Texas.
Yeah, the bullpen is solid.
So I got Texas against Boston. You got Texas against Cleveland. Who goes to the World Series, Tim?
Texas Rangers.
I got the Boston Red Sox. So we are at odds in the American League. Let's go to the National League. You got the Cubs as the number one seed. They will face, it sounds like, San Francisco from your standpoint. And I've got the Mets. Who do you have, the White Sox versus the San Francisco Giants?
Even year.
Oh boy.
I'm going right to the bitter end on this, Rich.
All right, we got the Ouija board going. I got the Cubs defeating the Mets, and Timmy's got the Giants defeating the Cubs, which is amazing. Okay, so let's go to the Washington Nationals host the Los Angeles Dodgers. In the Washington Nationals, Tim, no Steven Strasburg. They got Max Scherzer. Quick, who was the second pitcher?
Tanner Rourke.
Oh,
Tanner Rourke.
It's not a bad pitcher, but that's scary that you go from Steven Strasburg to Tanner Rourke. And you might have Joe Ross. You can even have Lucas Giolito pitching a game.
Well, yeah, who knows what's going to happen there. But I think the Giants are going to win one for Dusty. So I'm going to go with the Giants over the Dodgers.
All right, so you got the Dodgers defeating the Nationals, and you've got the Giants defeating the Dodgers.
Well, no, I got Washington, and then I got San Fran over Washington eventually. Yeah, Washington over the Dodgers, and San Fran will beat out Washington to play Texas in the World Series.
I'm going to say that the Dodgers finally, Clayton Kershaw finally gets the monkey off his back, being a bad playoff team. And I think they defeat the Washington Nationals. And I believe the Cubs defeat the Washington Nationals to go to the World Series. So I've got the Cubs in Boston. You've got you've got the Giants versus Texas.
Yep. And
the
Giants
went. I've got the Boston Red Sox, who I had preseason. I had the Boston Red Sox against the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. I got the Red Sox defeating the Chicago Cubs in probably a 6 or 7 game amazing World Series.
Yeah, you know what? Until somebody stops the trend of every other year, I got to go with it. Logically, the two best teams – it should be Boston and Chicago and a coin toss on the 7th game because they're both great teams. But I'm sticking with that until it fails.
Tim, I don't blame you. So anyway, what a great show. Fun season, everybody. I mean, and Tim and I think you would agree, and I'm sure you'll say things much more eloquently than I will, but we appreciate so much the community that we've built through the show and with the Facebook page and the Twitter feeds and just all the encouragement you guys give us. I know you give us a bad time, we give you bad advice, but it comes with the territory. But it's been a hoot this year, Tim. I know I've thoroughly enjoyed interacting with our listeners, and just it's been great. And I'm looking forward to Monday, which is the start of the off season and the start for next fantasy baseball season.
Yeah, I don't think I could say it any better except to thank everybody for your support this year. It has been an absolute riot. I've had a lot of fun. I've met a lot of new people, new friends, and through the Facebook page and the podcast. And hey, I wish everybody all the best over the off season. Hope you continue tuning in, and thanks again for all your support. It's just been a blast, and we couldn't have done it without you.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. So we've got, over the next couple of months, we'll be talking lots of playoffs. We'll be doing more awards. We'll probably start to doing a mock first couple 3-round drafts here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We will not, I know we'll have an off week, which is going to be right around Halloween. So the 30th or whatever that Sunday is, I'll be flying that day. So I won't be able to do it. So, but lots of playoff talks, lots of baseball talk, Tim, and beginnings of the fantasy stuff in October. And then we start to hit it hard in November, where we start to do the 30 open fantasy questions for next year. And then we start to go probably in December, position by position. And it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it always is. The off season is really a fun time. At least it is for me. And, you know, getting into the prospects, going through all your top 10 lists, Rich. I'm starting, and I've got to talk to you sometime in the next week about format. I'm starting ranking players. I'm starting early this year. I want to get that project done. I want to get it out. So I'm going to need some advice from somebody who knows more than Control C, Control V.
Okay, I can help you, Timmy. I'm a terrible writer, but boy, can I write fast and put stuff out there quickly. So,
formatting is not my area of expertise. How about I leave it at that?
Yeah, just throw them out there. Nobody cares about the formatting; they care about the content, Timmy. Just so you know, tell us what you've got going on this week. I've had a crazy last week and more exciting this week. But why don't you tell us what you've got going on?
This week, absolutely nothing, and I mean that sincerely, nothing. I'm going to watch a little bit of baseball. I'm going to start working on some rankings. I was contemplating, I've run a postseason league the past couple of years, and I was contemplating running it again, but I'm just a little tired, Rich. So I think I'm going to pass this year. I'm going to take the month of October and start formulating plans for next season and just sort of mellowing out for a bit.
Yeah, that's great, Tim. You deserve a week off.
Yeah,
I'm
what
in
about
the,
you, Reg?
I'm in the heavy part of my travel. It's always in the spring and always in the fall where I do insane amounts of travel. So last week I was actually in Boston. I got a chance to go to Fenway on Tuesday. It's just
a
beautiful
pictures.
Part.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, it, no one was there. The Red Sox were not playing, so we just rented out Fenway Park. A bunch of us had a run of the place and had tours, and it was great. Good food and just had a blast.
Did you get the scoreboard to sign your name?
I did not. No, but I got a chance to sit up on the Green Monster and the seats up there. Pretty nice, really nice view. Press box and all that kind of stuff, and then. It was fun. It was a little dreary in Boston, but it was a good time.
Good.
Wrote 12,000 words all week long. picked up my new car, Timmy. I got a free car, which was actually pretty good. All I had to do was pay taxes on it and a couple dealer options. So I got a brand new Audi R8 for about $15,000 in taxes. So it's a crazy, crazy car, but I'm very excited about that. So I did that.
Nice.
And then this weekend, Timmy, I went to you're gonna think I'm really smart because I'm not, but we had a book festival in our town, and they brought
here.
They brought in about 50 authors, and they had it spread out in a bunch of venues around town. It was remarkable, Tim. I think they have 5,000 people come and go to these different venues on Saturday. And just listen to, an hour about an author talking about his book. Timmy, I thought it was going to be the dumbest thing ever. It was awesome. I mean, awesome. The keynote speaker on Friday night, which was at the big arena, which is like 1,500 people here in town, was a guy named Sebastian Junger, I think. He was awesome. He wrote the book Perfect Storm. I don't know if you remember that movie and so forth.
Yeah.
About the boat.
Right.
So he wrote his new book is called Tribe, and it's about communities, Tim, and he's a war correspondent, and he talked about too many people that he spoke about, and even his experience in covering all the wars. When you're in combat and you're in this nucleus of a 20 or 30 person family, and you're everybody, you might hate the person next to you, but you'll die for them. It's that kind of mentality.
Right.
That many of those people, in fact, most of those people, when they get home, they all want to go back to that combat situation because they had such a tight-knit community there that he's now talked to anthropologists and so forth, and has decided that we really, as a people, should be living together, you know, and having community with people face-to-face time, not just over the internet, but face-to-face, and that we've become too isolationist of a society, and that's not healthy for anybody, because everybody needs human interaction, human, you know, human intimacy, you know, not like a husband and wife, but human, like, you know, conversation. And it was like an hour and a half of just him talking. And I was totally like, oh my gosh, this guy is freaking brilliant. And many of the things he said resonated with me. I thought it was awesome.
That's awesome, Rich. Yeah, we generally, when, you know, when we have a book festival up here, it involves crayons, not quite at the same level as yours.
it was great. My wife,
I'd love
my
to attend one.
Yeah, it was great. Lori went and saw a guy. I went to a financial guy. It was fun. Some of the economists and so forth. And Lori went and saw some guy that wrote a book about the Underground Railroad. Remember did you study about the Underground Railroad when the slaves were going?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I also studied the immigration into Eastern Canada, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick.
Wow. So this guy wrote a book, and it's a number one New York Times bestseller. His premise is, and Lori said it sounds far-fetched, but it was such a cool concept. What if the Underground Railroad was really an Underground Railroad? What if it was really a railroad, and what would that have meant and so forth? So there was kind of a historical fiction, and, you know, apparently he sold gazillion books. And Lori said he was just flat out, like, mesmerizing when he talked. So it's funny, when you talk to these people that are well-spoken and smart people, it was cool. It's totally, like, on me, Tim, because I'm definitely more of a numbers guy and, like, get to the point. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Well, anything that causes an individual to open up their mind to new concepts, new ideas, and allows you to search out different opportunities, That has to be positive, doesn't it?
It is. It was great. Yeah. So we did that this weekend, the Orioles game today. Next week, Timmy, I'm actually heading off to Chicago to pick up a bunch of awards. I've a couple of products I've been working on. One has won a Product of the Year award in our industry, and so I'm going to pick up some hardware, Tim. Yeah, I'm very proud of that.
Well, congratulations. That's truly awesome, Rich.
Yeah.
I know how hard you work.
No, I don't work that hard.
I know
I really
how hard
don't.
You work at driving your team.
That's exactly true. Exactly true.
But no, congratulations. That's awesome. I do have one question for you. How do you find the time, okay? Because I can never do it. All the time, you know, you're talking about, you know, you wrote 12,000 words. Well, how do you find the time to write them and count them, Rich? I'm at a loss.
When you put them into WordPress, WordPress tells you how many words you have, Timmy. It's that little thing at the bottom that tells you that. And I just put them in a spreadsheet and total them up, man. So,
okay, I guess that's the next step in my learning curve after
there
control,
you go,
cause, C, control
yeah,
not, V. Okay, there we go.
Exactly. But I'm not a good writer, but I can when I. It's funny because I was slogging through the Miami Marlins organization. Mm-hmm. I've been slogging through the Orioles organization. Timmy, it takes forever to write those organizations. I wrote six guys up in the Mets last night.
Right.
In a two-hour setting. I just plowed, because I knew them, because I'd seen them so much, and they're good, and they're fun to write about, and all my notes are there, and just boom, you write them. And then also you get to the Miami Marlins, you just stare at the paper for what seems like an hour, and you're like, is this guy even worthy of being in the top 10? And then you put out requests for people, you know, that I've met, hey, give me some feedback on fill in the blank. It takes time, right. And then they finally text you back, and it's like, sometimes they don't even tell you, like, who you asked a question about. So then you got to go and it takes forever. And then you just get like, I don't care anymore.
Well, when you're excited and you enjoy something, okay, and it's a very positive experience, you're going to get at it and you're going to do it. And it's not like work. It's something you enjoy. But on the other hand, when you get into a situation, like you said, where you're dealing with players that don't really enthuse you, well, all of a sudden that takes a back seat to maybe Dancing with the Stars or that's on TV or any or anything else. I think that's human nature. It's like when I'm doing the waiver wire and the best option is Delino DeShields Jr. How keen am I?
Exactly.
You'll
find the
you're
same
not.
Thing when you're doing those lists. I mean, it's like you get to maybe a position that's just no fun, and it's just no fun to write about. It just isn't.
Well, yeah. Do I want to choose between Ubaldo and Wade Miley? Well, you know, I think I'll put that off till tomorrow.
Absolutely, Timmy. Anyway, buddy, it's been a fun show. Let's wrap it up. It's 10:40, and thanks, Tim, for everything you've done this year. Your waiver wire stuff was just awesome. Your contributions to the podcast and to the Facebook page was just awesome. And you're the reason people listen to the show. And I can't be more pleased with what you've done. So thank you. Personal thanks to you. And I know I speak on behalf of everybody listening to the show. Thanks for everything that you do.
Well, thanks so much, Rich. It is entirely my pleasure. I've loved the opportunities that you've given me, and I've had a total blast with it. And don't be so hard on yourself as a writer. I've been following your writing for a number of years, and there ain't nothing wrong with your writing. Each and every year it gets better, and I think you should give yourself a pat on the back for a job well done.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. I'm not a very good writer. I'll say that till I... But I do appreciate the encouragement. I know good writers. I ain't one of them. So, I do have fun, so...
And that's the name of the game. As long as we're having fun, moving forward, life is good. Thanks again for everything, Rich, and be well.
See you next week.